Open your Bibles with me, and let's go over to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. And we'll start out in verse 8 here. Give you just a second to get there. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man in whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, which compasseth the whole land of Hivalah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Beldum, and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gilhah. The name of the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is, which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now the Lord's taken his man and he's put him in a garden and he's made it perfect for him. And he's told him, you can have everything that's there except you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now understand something, church, that the tree of life was there. Okay, we're going to see how that's significant here just in a minute. But everything in that garden except for the one tree he'd given to the man said, you can eat of that. But the problem was, man, being what man is, usually tries to have what they can't have or what they're not supposed to have. Okay, now let me jump over here to chapter 3 and let's read here. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat it of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, I wanted to show you all this because I wanted you to see here that it's in the garden here that God placed them in, the perfect place for them to be able to prosper, have anything they want. It's apparently a beautiful place, and it's a very rich place. Notice that God talks about the gold that's there and the jewels that's there. God places them in a place, I believe, now this is just what I kind of believe, I believe that the Garden of Eden was a copy of heaven. I believe that God made the Garden of Eden like things are in heaven. Sometimes you say, well, we don't know what heaven is. That's true, but when you read about heaven and you hear that there's, that river that's there, that tree of life that's there. And I just believe that God just made him a place on earth just like he had in heaven. So God placed them there in that garden to take care of the garden. But it was in that garden that Adam transgressed against God and disobeyed God and did not do what God had said to do. Actually, when you find out about it and you read on a little bit more, and I didn't want to read too much, but as you read on down, you'll find out that because they disobeyed, God put them out of the garden. Okay? And when he put them out of the garden, here's what he said. He put a guard up with a sword, an angel with a sword to keep them away from the tree of life. And he said, I put him out of the garden lest he should eat of the tree of life and live forever. And you start listening to that. You think, if they'd have chosen to eat from the tree of life instead of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they could have lived forever. But they chose the tree that God said, don't eat of. And God said, I have to put them out of the garden because I cannot let this man live forever because he has allowed sin in. And I don't want him to live forever with sin. He said, I got to put him out so he can die. Think about that one for just a minute. In the garden, this all took place. Now, I want to talk to you today about some things in the garden. It's just something that just kind of will grab you here. There's another story over in 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you want to go over there. Let's just look at some instances here in the garden where there's a mighty man of God that started out with David. And when he started out with David, he was one of those guys that went down there to the cave of Adullam when the Bible says that all that were distressed and all that, were having all these problems went down to David when he was hiding out in a cave from Saul. But he ended up being one of God's mighty men. And I've talked about him a lot because he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And his name is Shammah. And it's 2 Samuel chapter 23. And look at verse 11 here. And it says, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. So here we have a piece of ground. Can we say that's a garden? It's got lentils. They're growing beans. And so, you grow beans in a garden. And here's this ground, and the Philistines are gathered up, and the people leave him alone. They forsake him. They're not willing to protect what's theirs. And look at what it says at verse 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Notice it says the Lord wrought a great, great victory. You see, here's the thing we got to understand, church. Anytime we're doing what God tells us to do, we're defending what belongs to God. God will be right there with you, and he'll get the victory out of that. Shammah's here, and he's not going to run from the enemy. Listen, we don't have to run from the enemy. Come on, we are greater is he that's in us. We can stand and look him eye to eye, and we have the victory over him already. Come on, the Bible says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. We've already been given the victory, and so Shammah wasn't afraid to face the enemy, even though it was a whole army, and by himself, he whipped upon that army. Okay, now let's jump over to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake to Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give to thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said to her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said to him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders, to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles that who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and it was written in their letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried them forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, for he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Now, the story goes on to say that also the dogs were going to eat Jezebel, any of his people that fell in the air, anywhere the birds of the air would come and eat. So here in this garden, the king finds out that he can't do what he wants to do. He can't disobey God. He cannot kill somebody and take their possession. And look at what Jezebel did. Jezebel set him up, got people to lie against him so that she could have him killed, so that they could possess that garden there. God knows what people are doing. God watches over his people. And when somebody tries to pull a slick one, God already knows what's going on. And so he sent the prophet over to make sure that he told Ahab, Man, here where Naboth was killed, you're going to be killed too. Oh, by the way, send word over to Jezebel. She's dying. She's going to be eaten by the dogs. Come on, think about this. They thought they were getting away with something, but they didn't get away with it. You know, Naboth just didn't want to sell his family's property. He wanted to keep his inheritance. It wasn't that that was against the king or anything at that time. He just didn't want to do it. But, you know, Jezebel, she was one of those queens that really was the king. Come on. She was actually the one running things, running the show. Because we can read from scriptures and find out that Ahab was one of those kings that he listened to what she said and did what she said. You see, and here she's listening, and she said, well, you know, that's yours. You're the king. You can have it if you want it. I'll go get it for you. But how does she get it? By making sure she gets Naboth killed. And so when the man of God confronts, he says, you're going to die, so is your family going to die. And that he brought a whole curse on his family just because of what he did there in the garden. Now jump over with me to Luke chapter 13. Let's jump over there. Luke chapter 13, in verse 18, Jesus refers to a garden really concerning the kingdom of God. Luke 13 and verse 18. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. See, the Lord Jesus was using the garden here to show that the kingdom of God, once it was planted, was going to grow, and it was going to grow so big that people would be able to come in and find refuge. See, when we start looking at the garden, we find there's other places that the Word of God uses and Jesus used. He talked about in John chapter 12, verse 24, he says, very verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now he's using a natural thing like corn being planted in a garden to really represent what's going to happen to him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had to die before he could raise again. Once he died and rose again, then see, what that did was produced for you and I the fruit of salvation so that everyone, every person on this earth could be saved if they would receive Jesus as their Savior. So God used gardens and references garden many times. Now, jump over here with me to Luke chapter 22. Let's look at something else. Luke chapter 22. Let's look at verse 39. It says, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of God, Son of Man, with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw that he would follow, they said to him, Lord, shall we smite them with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to the sufferer, suffer thus so far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, you come out as against a thief with swords and stave. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Here Jesus is now in the garden praying. And it's here in this garden where they come to take him away to be crucified. He surrendered here in the garden to his Father's will. He's praying. He surrenders to his will. And then right here in this same garden, he's betrayed by Judas with a kiss. Now, we know that this is a garden because I want to take you over to John chapter 18 real quick. And I'll show it to you here in John 18. And let's look at verse, 1. And let's read here. The same account. I'm in Luke. I got to get over here to John. Yeah, John 18. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said to them, Whom seek you? Then answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith to them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou givest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Ananias first. So here is the proof that it was in a garden there that the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was praying, he was tempted to want to give up. He was tempted to say, he prayed to the Lord. He said, if there's any other way, let it pass from me. But at the same time, it's in that same garden that he surrendered himself, was betrayed by Judas, one of his disciples, and taken captive by the soldiers when they came. And it says, and they bound and they took him away. Now, Jesus then, once he was taken, once he was put upon in trial, the Bible says that when he was crucified, he was crucified in a place where there was a garden. So let's just jump over there. John, I'll just go ahead and read it to you. John chapter 19, if you want to go there. Verse 41 says, Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So here we have the Lord Jesus once again. He's being crucified. Now, we're not sure if he was crucified in the garden, but we know it says it was in that place. But right there in the garden was a tomb that had never been laid in by anybody. In other words, it was a new tomb. It was a new grave, and they had used that. And when Jesus was crucified, he was placed in a tomb in a garden. Isn't that something? Guess what? When Jesus rose again, he rose again from the grave in the garden, because he came out of that tomb. And we can prove that by going to John chapter 20. You're up there in 18. Just jump over to John chapter 20. It says, The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went in the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeing two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith to her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Notice here, Jesus Christ, when he came out of the tomb, he came out of the tomb in a place where there was a garden. I find it interesting that he disguised himself, or the fact that Mary could not recognize him. In the Word of God, we find that there's two different places. Remember when Jesus came back, he went walking down the road with the two disciples, and they didn't know who he was. And matter of fact, as he talked to them, and then once he revealed himself to them, they looked at each other and said, Didn't our hearts burn within us? As soon as Jesus said Mary's name, she knew who he was. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus speaks your name, you know who he is. When he speaks to you, you know he is. And she turns around and says, Master, Rabboni. And he said, Don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended. So in that garden is the place also that Jesus ascended back to the Father. So I want you to just kind of think about this. The next time you're thinking about a garden or see a garden, I want you to think about how significant. We could go, there was a whole lot more stuff in the Word of God concerning gardens and concerning the things Jesus used about gardening to prove out spiritual points. But I wanted just to look and see the things that were in the garden that God used and how God uses natural things to bring about spiritual things. You know, God wants you and I, yes, we're spiritual people, but we have to also operate in the natural. But our natural ought to represent our kingdom. In other words, we ought to be living our life here so that when people see us, we're not like the world. We're like the kingdom of God and the things in the kingdom of God. When they hear us talk, they ought to hear us talk God talk, not world talk. Come on. You know, that's not to say that we don't live in this world and, you know, there is the natural side. But I'm just saying, you know, we shouldn't be acting like the world. We ought to be acting like children of God and letting people see us as examples of a believer, like the Word of God said. God used the garden. Jesus, sin came in through the garden. And guess what? Sin went out through a garden. And Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. That's all. I quit. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, bless you, and praise you. Thank you, Father God. Most of us in here, Lord, are country folk, and we know about gardens, Father, and we know, but we can read about them in your Word, Father God, because you knew about it. And so we ask you tonight, Father, help us, Lord, to be wise planters. Help us, Lord, to be wise to plant the Word of God into people's lives, so that it can grow in them, Father God, and mature, and they can grow up and begin to plant the Word of God into people's lives. Father, help us, Lord, to be good tenders of the garden, Father God, that you've given us, Lord, living on the inside of us, Lord. You said that whom had good soil, good ground, Lord, it would produce some 30, some 60, and some 100. Help us, Father God, to be 100% producers for you, Father God, that you'll be glorified in everything that we do in our lives. And we just bless you and praise you and thank you for that. Thank you for your Word. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, that needs you tonight's a night, that they'll just turn their life over to you. Anybody, Father, needing anything from you, Father, God, you are the Lord of the harvest, and you've already said we can have it. And so we just give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is there anybody in this place that wants prayer tonight for anything? You need us to lay hands on you, or you want to give your life to the Lord? All right. Before I dismiss, I'm going to let y'all know that, if you don't already know, that Brother Doug Hired's mom has she passed, and she's down in